You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Follow the mystery. The Orphans, new episodes every Monday, exclusively at oneofus.net.
Watching this movie, I totally thought, dude, we are totally going to go home, get the video equipment, and start recording comedy hip-hop songs. And then I went, nah, we're probably not.
No. Us four white people?
Yeah. Well, no, that doesn't necessarily have anything against it, because, you know, as
yes,
silly...
Yes, it does. It has so much against it.
Okay, but there are outliers.
Like there are outliers, yeah. Hey, man, every now and then, there's like, a Beastie the world Boys, turns, you know? You get an M&M, you get the Beastie Boy.
There's a nice white Jewish boy somewhere.
Who's the Jewish rapper guy? You know the
Aesop
guy about? Yeah, that guy's awesome.
Yeah, he actually
is. Yeah. Have you never heard of him?
And a Beastie Boy.
He's a Hasidic Jew.
But, surprisingly enough, you know, he's a little shticky.
He's a total mensch, though.
Yiddish!
Yeah, that's funny, because it's not German.
Let's face it. This is the movie of the musical video sequences from Lonely Island on Saturday Night Live.
This is the Lonely Island story. This is obviously exactly what happened.
Oh my God!
After Adam Sandberg became the breakout star.
Andy.
Whatever.
Yeah, not to be confused with. Yeah, I actually, I went into this thinking it was going to be the Justin Bieber movie, because wasn't the Justin Bieber documentary called Never Stop Believing?
Yeah, I think this is kind of a send-up of that. Yeah.
But it was clearly the Lonely Island movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, because, like, for people who don't know, Lonely Island started out as kind of like an internet thing, and then they all auditioned for SNL, and Andy Samberg was the only one who got it, because Lorne Michaels was like...
the best looking of the bunch.
He's got
I'm not saying Gaspin Soon, I'm just saying, like, if you were drawing the lottery out of the three...
He was picked because he has a doofy face, and every SNL cast needs a doofy looking guy.
Yeah, he's got the charisma. And that's what his character has.
And that's that's almost exactly the plot of this film, where it's like these three guys who are the style boys, who had a level of bigness when they were, you know, teenagers, early 20s, and then Andy Samberg's character, Connor Friel, or as he's known later in his career when we meet him, Connor For Real, broke away. Just abandoned them. There's a funny bit where they're showing like the Rolling Stone cover where he's up front and the two guys behind him faces are blurred by the Rolling
Stone. Well, he's abandoned one of them, the main kind of songwriter dude, but he's still the guy who was the DJ is still with him DJing, but at this point his job is pretty much relegated to be pressing play on an iPod.
That was what it was
like most DJs.
Which I thought was the best joke.
That was what it was like being on Spill.
Yes.
Just kidding. I'm totally kidding. I'm sorry.
Wait, did you insult us?
No, I insulted Corey.
Oh, yeah, totally.
No, I was kidding.
Are you DJ Coxy Cox?
DJ Big Cox.
Wow. Please stop. Let us not go any further down this road.
DJ Pun Boys.
Okay, I couldn't figure out, like, obviously by Andy Samberg's age, like, the Style Boys would have been, like, big in the early 2000s, but I couldn't figure out what decade all of this was supposed to take place in, because, like, the Style Boys were just, like, kind of early 90s, like, crisscross, and then it was suddenly, like, the year 2025.
It was sometime between the point when I stopped listening to anything that was coming out in popular music and now.
Okay.
Because I had no idea what was going on.
So 1943.
Yeah,
I was going to say how many decades ago.
Hey, Tommy Dolce got a great band back then. Remember?
Yeah, this is a mockumentary where they're following him around, where he's had the biggest solo album in the world, which, what was it called? Thriller also.
Yeah.
Which just like, okay, that's pretty fucking funny. To his, like, you know, finally he's putting out his follow-up album, and everybody's super excited about it. It's Connor for real. And, you know, there's just press everywhere, and he puts it out to a resounding thud.
Yes.
Like, he gets, Pitchfork gives him a -4 review.
Conquest?
Yeah, Conquest. Rolling Stone gives them no star rating, just an emoji of poop.
Yeah. Which is what we should start giving. In my opinion.
Arbitrarily rating. We give that out. Yeah. Like,
I think when you've got a 10-star, a 10-level rating system, a 1 is pretty much a poop emoji.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, I know what Sarah's going to give this movie.
No, now I have to think of something different.
If only there were other emojis.
So we watch him as, like, you know, this is a rise and fall star with just the rise part being the, like, opening credits almost. And then, like, the rest of it is like, okay, you're at the top of the world, and now it's him, the everything falling apart, and not being able
it's
to
basically
deal with
like,
his ego.
Yeah, it's a primer on, here's all the stupid things you can do when you make a lot of money off your first album, and then, instead of going with the people that were writing songs for him, you know, kind of in-house, he hires a bunch of different other people, he surrounds himself with Yes Men, he buys a lot of shit that he doesn't need, he does commercial tie-ins that he doesn't need, you know, it's pretty much how to fuck up your life if you're a rich pop star. Primer.
Yeah.
MC Hammer.
Yeah, that guy. I feel so bad for him when I see him do TV commercials parodying his own failure. I'm like, this is what he's coming for.
Yes, with Teflon,
food on the table.
You really can't touch this.
And, you know, I mean, this film, like, goes into the eccentricities of being that level of celebrity to a point that definitely is nothing but pure satire, where you're like, okay, there's some absurd shit really famous people do, but this is definitely way past that. Into
is
where,
it?
I don't know. I think I might need an example from you.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about how the Lemonade video was made.
I did love they took a jab at when YouTube put all of their music on your iPod, whether you wanted it or not. Their take on that was kind of funny, I thought.
Yeah.
You know, there are, to be fair, a lot of jokes in this that land, but, you know, just like a pop song, you know, 3 minutes of it is great. Maybe an hour and a half, not so much.
Yeah, I feel the same way. The whole time, well, after the first 10 minutes, I was kind of like, I wish I was in my room watching this on Netflix so that I could pause it, because I'm kind of getting tired of these jokes, and then come back later and laugh at the same level.
I think
again,
that's why I liked Wet Hot American Summer, the series, better than the movie, because it was I could just watch it in small pieces and go, oh, that was funny.
The best parts of the movie are the Lonely Island segments. It's the song.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, they're not as good as Jizz in My Pants.
Yeah, or Dick in a Box.
Those are
such classics as Dick in a Box. Yes.
have a rather massive cultural impact.
I will say this, and, you know, this is just our experience with the film. Like, an audience can sometimes ruin a movie.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And there was one individual in this film
who sat
next to Herman, who was, you guys heard, everyone heard him.
Oh, the whole audience.
And
they heard him
in San Antonio.
Things that were funny, we'd like, oh, that's funny. He would go, ha! I mean, he was Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He was smoking a cigar.
Robert De Niro in Cape Fear, if he was played by Zach Galifianakis.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, to me, I mean, I think a lot of parts of this movie are really, really funny, but he kind of took away from it. So, I don't know, part of me is like, maybe I should just see this movie again.
Give
a final.
The only thing I can't generally tune out in movies, if I'm having a good time, like, fuck that, I want to enjoy this movie, I'm just going to try and ignore it, is a screaming baby very near me.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Can't tune that. What are you supposed to do? There's nothing you can do. Or anyone repeatedly kicking my seat. Like, those two things, it's like, no, it's on. Like, I'll walk up to a woman with a screaming baby who's not doing anything about it and go, ma'am, with all politeness, you really need to take that baby out of the theater. Or if there's someone kicking my seat, I will turn around and go, I will fucking cut you!
But in most cases, you can actually, like, a parent in, like, generally will get the hint and take their kid out.
Yeah.
But this guy, he's been in several screenings with us. I don't know
who he is. Just never sat that close to us.
Yeah, and he will laugh at nothing.
Yeah, out of nowhere, you're like,
at a scene
even
change.
There will be a delay, like everyone's done laughing, and then he would start laughing.
Maybe he just didn't get it until then. He's still processing, he's got the little rainbow wheel going on in his head.
But then he wasn't laughing at the funniest part, which was the CMZ segments with Will Arnett.
And also...
Gina from...
from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
Chelsea Peretti.
Yeah, Chelsea Peretti.
And Mike Propinquia in a great wig.
Oh, yeah. That old sequence, they keep going back to that, you know, and you're like, okay, I've watched just enough of that to know exactly what they're satirizing.
Right.
Yeah. Why am I watching these guys sitting around being fucking snarky assholes?
So, my biggest criticism of this is actually not the jokes, but the fact that it's supposed to be a mockumentary, but there was some, like, it didn't feel documentary enough. Mm-hmm. This was no Christopher Guest movie.
Well, no,
right.
I feel like if it had been more realistic looking, like, shot more realistically, then it would have been funnier, because it would have felt real, and then that would have been the joke.
Are you criticizing the movie's lack of vérité?
Yeah, I am.
Wow. You guys are awesome. You work so well together.
But also there weren't enough poop jokes in it.
Hopefully I'll be able to say mise-en-scene at some point during this movie.
I, you know, I hear what you're saying, and I do think that this is definitely, I mean, no one's going to let go. This is like the new Spinal Tap. Like, no question.
Oh, no.
But
like, A Mighty Wind is the new Spinal Tap.
But I will say, like, I am harder on comedies than probably any other genre of film, where, like, I love a great comedy, but I, you know, a lot of movies would be like, you didn't think I was funny? I'm the guy going, no.
I did not.
And I actually had a much better time with this than I thought I would have. There are definitely long lulls in this where okay, I see what you're going for, and nothing is making me, like, comedies often, if they're bad, will make me angry, where I'm like, oh, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah.
Like, that's just dumb. Stop it. Try harder.
Adam Sandler.
Yeah, Adam Sandler, or what have you, you know.
Hot Pursuit.
Hot Pursuit.
That was the only comedy that's actually made me mad.
I never felt that way once during this. I was always like, even in the slow periods, I'm kind of like, I keep getting regularly delivered pretty big belly laughs during this, and I'm like, okay, give it a little bit longer and something will come along. And sure enough, it would keep having something that would, like, I didn't see coming and go, like, okay, that was awesome. The whole sequence with Seal in this movie, it was so fucking funny. It's like, you know, even if you're not having a great time when you're watching this, at least stick around for the Seal scene because it's so good.
That made me very upset.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why, are you just a wolf lover?
No. I just like Seal.
You're just a Seal.
I'm a Seal lover.
I mean, that's the other thing. I thought some of the interviews that they got for the movie were actually kind of funny. When we see Ringo Starr, who to me, like, he's in it for like maybe like a few seconds, but his line in regards to like one of the songs, and specifically about, you know, pop stars singing about how it's okay to be gay, but they will not. They will say, but I'm not gay.
That was the best song in that.
Yeah, the whole, like,
it is the Macklemore song. It's him saying, I'm not gay. It's a cross between Macklemore and the No Homo song.
Where it first is like once or twice, and as it goes along, it just starts accelerating. At the end of the song is him just saying, I'm not gay. And there's a ton of cameos in this film, most of which I admit I have no idea who these people are.
Famous hip hop artists.
Yeah, and I just don't know that much about it. A lot of these people I only knew because they always put their name on the screen, and I would go, okay, I recognize that name.
I knew who Usher was.
Yeah, I know who Usher. I actually recognize
Usher. You don't know who Nas is? Jesus Christ.
No, I know there is a hip hop artist named Nas.
Mariah Carey?
I know the Iron
Man. Mariah Carey's been around forever. Actually, one of the funnier bits in this film, I thought, was where they have this guy. She's pointing out Weird Al Yankovic.
Where was he in that?
He was almost unrecognizable. He had a wig on. He was a Hammersmith or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I was wondering. There were people, including Laugh Boy.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, Stan Lee just showed up, and I didn't recognize him.
At first, I thought one of them was Danzig. And I was like, wait, why are people laughing at that?
Weird Al's been dancing this whole time.
I knew it.
Well, they bring in this character called Hunter the Hungry, who's like, they're saying he's the next gen of hip-hop, where literally nothing he says makes sense.
No, but I liked that. Yeah, I liked his hip-hop. I was like, I don't like hip-hop, but I would go to see that.
I mean, it was definitely written by the same people who were writing the songs for the main band in here. But he has, you know, of course, it's that whole, like, hey, come on, I think you're great, you're going to be my new opening act, and then he starts to get bigger than our hero, and our hero is like, well, fuck you, then, and they have a falling out.
And the star is born.
There's a wonderful moment where he's on stage in an awards ceremony with Mariah Carey, and Mariah Carey, like, just fucking, like, come at me, bros. Mariah Carey actually has some of the funniest moments of any, like, star cameo in this.
Yeah.
She has her and Seal.
I mean, there's a point of self-parody in here where she's, like, making fun of the fact that, like, she obviously has a ridiculously huge ego.
Oh,
she
directly
makes fun of herself for it.
I just love him. He's humble, like me.
I did not see that coming at all. Although, I will not put it outside of the possibility, realm of possibility, that she thought that was supposed to be serious.
No, it wasn't accurate, because, like, in real interviews, she just breaks out into song.
Look, Mariah Carey knows funny, because she was married to Nick Cannon, and she divorced him, which proves she knew that it wasn't funny.
I know nothing about these kids and their celebrity marriages. Oh, that was another one that was really funny.
So you don't actually watch Poots? TMZ then?
No. Imogen, what's her name? Poots?
Imogen Poots.
Poots.
Yeah.
Her
most
character.
Unfortunate
yeah.
name for an actress. Ever. Yeah. Yeah.
You was she playing?
She was his girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, she doesn't look like a Poot.
No.
Not at all.
Or an Imogen.
But what was the funny one?
Oh, just her character was funny, too. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there were so many things about this that were funny, but it wasn't quite there for me.
It's a volume thing.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, this works, but, you know, it's a certain level of joke, and the levels never really change all that much, and so you're just like, after a while, it's like you're you know, just sitting in front of a fan blowing into your face.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I really need this to stop now.
I think, like, the third act really drags. That's where kind of all the jokes stop. The movie does kind of like the Will Ferrell formula, where he always plays a specific profession. It's funny at first, whether it be Talladega Nights or Blades of Glory. But then eventually, it'd be like, it's the fall from grace. He's trying to come back up. And that's the part of the movie that just doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, it's just really kind of boring, honestly. And then, like, it kind of, even they end on a really poor joke. It's just like, oh, okay.
Well, I don't even remember the joke they ended on.
Yeah.
Spoiler!
Yeah.
Somebody they end on a joke.
Yeah. it's a reference to what happens.
And then they all got stoned.
It's a very darkly serious ending where they're like, remember the veterans 9/11.
And then they went.
they bring out the surviving cast members of Band of Brothers and then close. Happy Memorial Day!
I'd watch that.
Well, maybe the Pacific.
Yeah,
I'm like looking at all these cameos.
There's so many.
There's so many. That was another thing. There's just too many people, too many cameos.
Too many ushers.
Yeah,
I mean, that's like endemic to the music mockumentary. You know, they all do that, where it's like we get as many
Spinal
people
Tap didn't
as we
do
should.
That.
Yes, they that's did. True. You're
no,
just too young to recognize
Spinal Tap. Spinal Tap had people in it that weren't famous at the time that all went on to be really famous.
Well, I mean, like, a lot of them actually were well-known in comedy.
Come
shows.
On. It
no, but that was
oh
in
God,
comedy circles. That was different. This is just like, hey, we got this such-and-such music person for an hour. We're going to use them.
A lot of these people have worked with Lonely Island before. Like,
yeah.
Some of the people that show up at the end of the movie, I don't want to spoil it.
Where the fuck was T-Pain?
I was waiting for that.
No,
he's in jail.
Yeah, there's...
Well, no one wants
sorry, I was going to say, there's so much auto-tune in here, you'd think he would show up just to go, copyright! Sadly,
I mean,
he's actually tried to...
Wait, tell that joke again.
What?
Oh, just say a joke. Say a joke. Any joke. It doesn't matter.
Oh, are you doing the guy in the theater?
I couldn't even do it loud enough.
I thought I was going to have to go with a Hannibal Buress bit. But okay.
I thought you were going to auto-tune this joke.
You're a comedian. Tell a joke.
Yeah. Man, I couldn't could have seen that cute girl's titties if I just told a joke. What the hell's wrong with me?
So he tells her, like, the most horrible, the most horrible white woman abusing joke ever. It's like, ha ha, you just paid to say, you just paid with your titties to hear the worst woman abusing joke ever. A contract is a contract. anyway, yeah, there's, I think there's a better balance than you'd expect of funny stuff to not funny. But you're right. The third act starts to drag. It starts to go down. There is enough of a heart, not a huge amount, but enough that when you, the inevitable reunion of characters happens towards the end, I was like, aw, kind of got sweet.
You just don't really, you just don't really care.
I didn't.
I feel like they went too... They were too safe in the middle. They should have made him either a complete asshole or just, like, secretly a big lovey dude. And it was just, like...
Why do you hate turtles so much there?
They have... What's the disease they spread that if you touch them...
Leprosy?
No.
You think 90s cartoon shows are good?
It's the ooze.
The secret of the ooze.
Yeah. But, mutation?
Okay, somebody in the comments.
Toxic plasmosis.
Whatever, it's whatever.
Salmonella, it's something you can also
leprosy,
get from...
Leprosy.
No, it's something you can also get from eating tainted meat.
Turtle
anyway.
Rocks. Oh, Salmonella.
Salmonella, yeah. Okay. That's, anyway.
I had no idea. I'm a step on turtles when I see them. Fuck those things.
You know what?
Yeah.
Is it because of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie?
Don't worry! Guys, technically, it was a tortoise in the movie.
Oh, that's true! This movie is shit because they mislabeled the animal in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Anyway. Fuck this movie because I cannot stand when the nomenclature goes that horribly around. anyway, let's get our final thoughts. Sarah, keep going.
Like Herman said... I think part of the movie-going experience is the audience you're with, and the audience can really flavor your own reaction to it. So, for example, when I went to see Borat, I went in a theater filled with college students who were very high. So Borat was the funniest movie I'd ever seen. And then I saw it on my own. It wasn't that funny. this movie...
You should have tried and seen it in Kazakhstan. It was hysterical.
Yeah.
The audiences there loved it.
It was actually an Oscar-winning drama for them. I think, like what Herman said, I feel like maybe I should watch this again in like a year and see how I feel about it. But I feel very lukewarm. Some of the cameos I thought were hilarious. Will Arnett... I love Maya Rudolph. I love Bill Hader.
Deborah. Where does that come from?
From Deborah.
Yeah. I love my SNL alumni. I love them, but not enough to really enjoy this movie. And the best parts of this movie were the Lonely Island songs. And I'm not I don't like musical comedy that much, but I was like, I want more of that. That would have been way funnier. So, in conclusion, I'm going to give this 5 out of 10 loose seals. That's an Arrested Development
in honor of
Will Arnett.
Sure is.
And Seal. 5 out of 10 loose seals. The end.
Yeah, okay.
I guess, you know.
Applause!
Yeah.
Chris Herman.
Despite the person who sat next to me, I really enjoyed this film. I thought it was surprisingly very funny. I actually really like some of the Lonely Island parody songs. I thought they really work, and much like those songs that are on YouTube, they're great in this movie. Andy Samberg, who's someone I just don't find particularly funny. Like, he always surrounds himself with funny people, like Brooklyn 999. It's like, he's the least funny thing about it, but for whatever reason, that show just works, and maybe he brings it all together. I'm not sure. But in this movie, I
doubt that's it.
I think it's funny. It's okay. But he actually did a surprisingly good job. He played that arrogant douchebag who you just wanted to see fail, and it just really worked for me. Aside from that, I thought some of the cameos in this movie are great. Songs are great. For right now, I'd probably just give it 7 out of 10 obnoxious theater patrons.
Oh, I forgot to say Tim Meadows. I also.
Oh, yeah, we didn't mention Tim Meadows. He's actually a big character in this. I feel like we're racist now.
No. It's just that he hasn't, you know, had the same career as most.
This is one of the better things he's done in a long time.
It's very true.
Other than the Ladies Man.
That wasn't completely VO related. I think Sarah raised, you know, kind of the best point in that. Yeah, it totally rings true to me that if this was like an hour long special on Netflix, it would be something that I would be pimping on the internet and say, "Oh, guys, you should check out Pawnstar. It's really fun." Seeing it as a movie where it's longer than it needs to be, has, you know, a very draggy third act. And I'm kind of on the same page as Herman in that Sandberg doesn't particularly punch any buttons for me. I think he's a good writer. But as a performer, he's very hit or miss for me. It's just like, yeah, I get it. You're kind of playing that naive-ish, but kind of smug douchebag thing. Yeah, that he plays in everything. And hey, man, Bill Murray did that really, really well for like 20 years. And he blossomed into a great actor. So God bless you, Andy. I hope that happens to you. The Lonely Island guys are funny. They're great writers as well. There's a lot of elements in this, all of the great cameos. There are a lot of jokes that work in it. But as a whole, yeah, it feels a little long, and that's just basically because this is nothing that we haven't really seen before. You know, if you've seen, you know, Spinal Tap or even Mighty Wind or you know, what have you, there have been a lot better, like, mockumentaries than this made. It doesn't really feel like they're fully committed to the format. It doesn't really stick together. And but which is not to say that it's not funny and entertaining, because there are definitely moments there. It's above par, but it never rises into, wow, this is a really great movie that I want to sit
I don't with. Understand golf references.
See, par is par. Bar, but the B is flipped upside down.
Oh,
the B's drunk.
Well, I totally get that.
It's a birdie, right?
It's the sweet spot.
What, Bye Bye Birdie, like the hit Broadway musical?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This is an above bar movie. Do you get it now?
I totally understand.
There we go. It's an interesting little confection, but literally, if you come up to me in 3 months and go, "Remember Popstar?" I'll be like, "Oh yeah, God no." I give it 6.5 giant robot heads.
I love the giant robot heads.
Yeah, that was funny.
I just wanted to say before you go on your final thoughts, Chris. Sarah Silverman was in this movie.
Yes.
Yeah,
and I don't know why.
One of same reason everybody else was. This cascade of people. Sandberg is actually pretty big right now and seems to have pulled Brooklyn Nine-Nine is a huge show. And I think one of those people were like, and Lonely Island has done some pretty amazing stuff that got super high profile. Like, I mean, that Dick in the Box, I thought it was funny as shit when I first saw it. And then after a month, I was like, please go away.
Hey, have you seen Dick in the Box?
I did. I'm dressing up like that for Halloween, and so is everyone in my frat.
I never thought I would say this to anyone, but please stop showing me your dick video.
Wait, what?
Yes, Sarah Silverman was in this, and for what reason? It could have been anyone.
I think it's just her helping out a buddy, you know? She's got cachet now, and
she's
one of those people like. And by the way, Andy, if you want to see how to do a Sarah Silverman cameo, watch Lady Dynamite.
I still haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Oh my god!
Yeah, she plays his publicist. We mentioned Tim Meadows earlier. Plays his manager. Anyway,
Tim Meadows is great.
So, like, I get the feeling I like this better than you guys did. I still like. I actually appreciate and even agree with most of y'all's criticisms. I guess I just thought the funnier parts were a lot funnier. Like, I really, really laughed my ass off at parts of this film.
You did?
And quite a few parts of this. Yeah, I really did. It's a lot of parts that I was laughing out loud.
You're sitting exactly the right amount of space away from the laughing guy and from really bad smelling guy.
That was funny.
No, I mean, like even normally with comedies that I'm really enjoying, you'll rarely get more than one or two laugh out loud moments for me. It's mostly like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah. That's what happens when we tell Chris jokes.
Yeah.
He just stares at us blankly and then 5 seconds later goes, that was funny.
No, I stare at you blankly and go, ha, 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 ha.
And then we clean out our ears.
Laugh at everything like a supervillain laughs.
I don't know. I had more fun with this than I didn't. I definitely think that this is a really far from perfect comedy. There is a lot of points where it just slows so far down. I think it definitely is falling to such a traditional trap of this type of film. There's nothing you don't really see coming at all, or hell, there's nothing you don't even vaguely see coming in terms of the plot. So if you're going to judge it on that level, forget about it. It's like it fits the generic this story to a T.
Mm-hmm. But it's a Will Ferrell film.
It's either yeah. the funny is gonna be funny to you, or it's not. Or there's gonna be enough of that, or it's not. And for me, it was enough of it. I did in fact enjoy more of the cameos than I didn't. This has a lot of the jokes that are really funny are out of nowhere. Like, just goddamn, that was a great one-liner moments. So you're like, oh, punch. Most of the one-liners in this that are so funny are better than the actual set pieces they're doing, mm-hmm. which is odd for a comedy like this.
Not really with this cast. I'm sure a lot of stuff was pulled out, you know, on improv.
Maybe so, because I felt like this movie hurts more with the set pieces than it does with just the people talking. Although the musical numbers, I mean, once again, it's Lonely Island, totally writing and performing these things, and you're like, they're really good at doing funny songs.
Yeah.
And the songs are all pretty goddamn funny. At least I thought so. There are certainly some cameos. You're like, why are they here? Like Martin Sheen has a scene. You're like, why is Martin Sheen?
I love that scene.
You know who they didn't have in this, who I thought was going to show up? Chris Parnell.
Yeah?
I was waiting. Maybe that's why I'm so sad.
You really love Chris Parnell? Don't
you? Well,
are
I
you
feel
always
like
rooting
he
for him to punch Archer in the face?
Yeah, he is like the cameo guy. Like, if there are people in an SNL movie, it's going to be Chris Parnell.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. He does seem unafraid to show up in pretty much anything.
And he did my favorite, like, I guess it's not officially Lonely Island, but sort of, Lazy Sunday.
Yeah, that's the best out of all.
Yeah, that was my favorite
Chronic
one.
Of Narnia.
The Chronic Wickles of Narnia. Yeah, I used to have that memorized, but yeah, I won't do it right now.
Sadly, I did too.
You want to see a Jewish girl rap?
I totally fucking
did. Good night, everybody!
Anyway, I give this 7 out of 10 donkey rolls.
Okay, I feel like that's how I normally dance.
I was going to go with Elaine on Seinfeld, but okay.
I have a little bit more flow than that.
Panache.
Yeah.